everybody.
Good morning.
It's Sunday again.
Good morning, Teacher Kathy.
No.
You're my teacher.
I'm not.
You're a good teacher, me.
She's a good teacher.
You look really good today, Josh.
She feels.
Your eyes look very, like they're focusing. Yes.
Very alert.
Yeah, truly. Really, cool. Love it. Love it when I see it, love it when I do.
I was gonna tell you, when he claps, he'll clap at the music, and then he'll clap when the pastor's done. And he's not clapping 'cause you're done. He's clapping to let you know he thought it was really good.
Good. Hallelujah. Father Oscar, why don't you open up in a word of prayer for us?
Okay. Father, we just come into your presence right now. We ask you to let your Holy Spirit just move and flow out of our innermost being here while we're here today, and let your word just be even like a sweet dessert to us today, Father, that we could just partake of you and partake of your word. And we thank you for your presence here, because you know where two or more gathered, your presence just increases more and more. And I just thank you for that, and I thank you for what you're going to minister to us today. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to read the next overcomer message. And it's in Revelation 2:26. And it is where, I suppose it's Christ who is speaking to the people in Thyatira. But when he gets down to those, and he that overcometh, I'm going to read this verse, and then I want you to tell me what word pops out at you, okay? I'm going to try and keep it real straight so you don't get a hint from me. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Is there a certain word there? Because there never was to me until I read it this morning.
Read it again.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Are we supposed to do works to him? Are we supposed to do works? No. To me, the word is my. This is Christ speaking. He says, if you keep my works, my works, he's done the works. You keep it. You keep my words. And keep my works, and I looked up the word keep, and it meant to observe them, to keep an eye on them, to put your faith and your trust in him in those things. It has to do with keeping the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ right there in the forefront in our mind. And I thought in this case, the Mirror Study Bible was the one that said it the best to me. It says, the same verse says, seeing my victory as your victory makes you the overcomer. I think that's probably the best, that just grabbed me. We have to see his victory as our victory. We just jump on board and hang on to his victory. Makes you the overcomer by embracing the completeness of my works as your treasure. You realize my authority in you to possess the nation. Don't you think that's good?
I think that's a great way of saying how important it is for us to stay focused on his works. Because first of all, his works are completed, right? All his works are completed.
And we are completed.
And we have inherited that completion.
Hallelujah.
Man, I mean, that talking about a burden rolling away, God knows what he's doing. And he also knows when to enlighten us upon that word. So it would be settled here. No longer wondering or whatever, but going, oh man, that is so good. And it is. That is really good.
Yeah.
We could eat on that for quite a while.
It's pretty good. Because in the King James it says, and to him that overcometh, that's one thing, and keepeth my works. It looks like you need something other than, you know, and you don't.
Is that chapter 3?
It's chapter 227.
227.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, 226.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 26.
What have you got there, Pastor? This one?
Oh, I've got the King James up right now.
Yeah. That's what I'm opening to.
You also whatever it says in Amplify.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And he who overcomes is victorious, and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations.
Is that talking about sonship?
Yeah.
Is that talking about sonship?
Yeah.
Nations. Yeah. What does it say for nations?
Well, you know, the thing that sticks out to me there is, how do you overcome? Okay. Well, in Revelation it said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, mm-hmm. and by the word of their testimony, mm-hmm. and loved not their life even unto death. Okay, so to be an overcomer, first of all, you have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. You don't have anything to do with that. He did it. Mm-hmm. And by the word of their testimony. Well, what is the word of your testimony? The word of your testimony literally has to be that you believe in everything that he did, and that what he did for mankind and all that kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people will quote that he died for the sins of the whole world, but yet they don't believe that he died for the sins of the whole world, because they believe everybody's still out there in sin, and you know, and they're not forgiven unless they follow some formula or something like that. Well, no, if he forgave the sins of the whole world, they've been forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't know that they've been forgiven. They don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And the church is not really at times helping them understand that as much as they should. So, you know, I and when you talk about works, I shared a sermon, I don't know, a few weeks back, about literally the works of God are where Jesus said, and this is the work, that you believe on basically on God, yeah. and whom he has sent. Right. Well, who did he send? He sent Jesus.
Right.
So that's the work that you're to do. You're to believe on them or into them, you know. Mm-hmm. It would be a better translation of that, believing into them. Yeah. And if you believe into them, then, you know, you're going to be changed from the inside out, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will change you, and he'll do the changing.
Where that says that is in John 6:29, because I was following that up. And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Uh-huh. Otherwise, believe the speaker. That's who he sent, was the speaker. That's who was speaking. Jesus was speaking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really, I think that becomes the lips of that's our testimony, is him, his
before
presence.
Before that, didn't they ask him, what must we do the works of God, or something like that?
It said, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wanted it to move into an area where they could have some touch and feel and see and stuff. And that, well, believe on the one that brought the message. I mean, you know, his son. Believe on him. Right. And I think, because if we understand that that's the works, then our work becomes pretty simple. I don't want to simplize it, but I mean, it becomes work, believing in him. That's what our works are, to believe in him. But I think there's another one here also. Where was it at? 1 John 3:23. First John 3:23 says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Christ, Jesus Christ, the loved one, and love one another as he has gave us this commandment." Mm-hmm. And I'm going, that's the fulfillment of loving one another. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is that fulfillment. And I mean, you know, how many times, I mean, we spend so much time talking about, well, without him, I can't do that. Well, all things in him are possible. Now, everything in our life that's impossible doesn't make it possible in him, because he, you know, we have to put it in him first. We have to say, "I surrender this to you." So we got to confess, you know. And as you confess, I think that's a type of surrender. That's a type of white flag, for those that know about white flags over here. Anyway, I mean, it really it is. Be ready to surrender. Because once you surrender to Jesus, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Once you surrender something to Jesus, how much negativity is there after that? It's almost just wiped clean. It's wiped clean. He's cleaned it. I mean, you know. That is a good word, Kathy.
Isn't that a great?
That is a good word.
I mean, how could you go back to living life the way you used to when you know the peace and the serenity of surrendering? How can you? You have, before you surrender, though, you have to understand who you're surrendering to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when we are surrendering to God Almighty, the great motherhood spirit of God, the fatherhood spirit of God, the Christ in us, how, you know, you couldn't ever want to go back. You could never want to take it back. How could you? Just to get up in the morning and know peace.
Well, when I was reading this, and this thing, mm-hmm. I had read it three times now, mm-hmm. where it says, "Seeing my victory is your victory makes you the overcomer."
Yes.
What that says to me is his victory is ours, mm-hmm. and our victory is his.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
So it's one. We're mm-hmm. all one. Mm-hmm. And with we're one in Christ, we are the overcomer. How can we be defeated?
He is our great reward, and we are his great reward.
Well, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
I mean, Oscar has been teaching that for years, and you know what? Because we've talked about that quite a bit, to where when people start talking about their spirit and mm-hmm. it being different than his spirit, and I go like it. Oh, no, no, no. I said, the Word says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's important that we get that oneness, because if we get that oneness, we can not only enjoy the already being apprehended for that reason, to be one with him. I mean, we can have a lot of victories that we don't, sometimes we just say, well, I don't know about you or whatever. I just haven't come that far. No. Well, my challenge is we take a lot of breaths, and we should consider, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I mean, he come walking in this morning saying how happy he was, how thankful he was, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's not an occurrence that happens every once in a while. That happens every day. Mm-hmm. So as Mike says that every day, he said this last Sunday. He said every day that he gets up, one of the first things he says is thanking God for allowing me to see another day. Mm-hmm. And you know what? To see the day before the day, because God is the day, to see the day before the day and thank the day for having it, he's the creator of heaven and earth. It says all things shall pass away, but he's going to remain. And he does all things well, he does them to the finish. I think what we're probably taking a yawn for and kind of sitting back and going, we can't wait for the day where it is finished. And you know, and it's going to be a finished. I mean, I look at our children and our grandkids and nephews, nieces, whoever. I look at our neighbors and see a work that's finished that they don't know about, but you know what? They're going to walk in it. Mm-hmm. They're, because of his mercy. And he was talking a lot about mercy. God's mercy are fresh and anew every day. He don't give you this old stale mercy that he maybe apprehended 2,000 years ago. He lets you know that the mercy of God is today as fresh as it was then.
He says, great is his faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Oh my goodness, dude, we got a song right there. No, you know that, don't you?
Clyde, you said something before, when you said something, you said, well, I haven't come that far. Michael, my question to you would be, how do you know? If we're real true believers in the Lord, how do you know you haven't come that far?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to go back to what Oscar has taught us to where, that not that they choose to be blind, but yet they have been appointed this time not to see it or understand it. But you know what? But look at the time we have right now. We have been appointed to live in the time after Jesus came. See, none of them had Jesus before. But now we know, and if you read Hebrews a lot, now we know in Hebrews 11, they've all been apprehended. He talks about these witnesses and all these people. And it's people of faith is what he calls them, people of faith. And why does he call them that? I think he calls them that so we'll have a greater hope living within us, that great faith of hope that lived within them. They were apprehended by that hope. You know, but yet we got apprehended by Jesus. Jesus on Calvary. Jesus going, who had no sin and took it upon himself to be sin. Him who bled for us. We have that, not as a story, but we have that. We've been apprehended by that.
Well, you know, when I said that, you know, if you look at, think about the words, when you say, I haven't come this far, you're saying the future. You're talking about the future.
Putting it off.
What did, Josh and I were talking when you walked out of the room before. What is it, one day at a time? It's one moment at a time.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why my son, first of all, let's see, when were you born? You know when he was born. Well, when was, what day was you born? August the 18th. You know who else was born on August the 18th besides you and Jim? And it's a good thing I didn't know this, being honest with you.
Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente was born on 8/18.
Oh, there I am.
That's my favorite baseball player. And so God had already put everything. God already knows what's going to happen. He knows, you know. It's almost like if you trust him, you know that he knows.
Yeah, and you know Mike was born August
8th.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, I said him and Jim and them. But the whole thing was, what when we come down to it, God, I hate to say it like this, but God almost does stuff to help us stay a believer.
What do you mean,
he did.
He does.
He gave his son. I mean, but he has a surplus of mercies that we haven't even come in contact with yet. I mean, we can, you know.
Clyde, have you ever just taken a day? And I'm going to say this to everybody. Have you ever just taken a day and the next morning wake up? Think about the day before and think about all the things that God said for you that day. If you really think hard, you can't count them all.
You know, when I had open heart, I believed that people did not believe what I was saying to them. I said, I've never taken life for granted. I said, but the truth is, I said, he's more today than he was yesterday. But I didn't have this testimony yesterday because it didn't come out of my mouth. But I have it today. This side of the ground looks good to me. And I mean, you know, because you got to talk to where they live. They're walking on this earth, so am I. But we need to be thankful to have the privilege to walk on this earth and to have the privilege of having him live within us. And Oscar likes that, us and him and us. What a relationship. That's the relationship. Christ in you. I believe it. Hope of glory. I believe it. That was King James. I was trying to think. Does J.B. Phillips say anything about that? I wonder what that is. Or the message. Mike, you usually got the message.
You know, when you sit and just think about the oneness and the surrender and keeping his works, doesn't it make it totally impossible to hold a grudge, to hold a resentment against the neighbor? We're one with them. If you're holding a resentment to them, you're holding a resentment to yourself. You're holding yourself back to the spot where they are. If you don't forgive them, you're not forgiving yourself, because you're one. You know, and fear, how can fear survive when we understand, you know, the oneness that we have with Christ? It's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful life, you know, and it's a world that I will be content to live in eternity. I mean, you think of things as they are, and things are changing all the time. And there's, you know, I'm getting older. You know, it wouldn't take much. You see people, and then all of a sudden, the next day, they've got something, and then they're gone. And you think, but you know what? This is a life that I don't feel is going to ever come to an end. The oneness, it's never going to come to an end. You and know, I'll be so content in it.
I thought Brother Shepherd said something that, well, he said a lot of things, but he said something that he was talking about people holding grudges and stuff like that. And he said, the way I look at that, I think this is an inside look at how God sees it. Mm-hmm. 100 years from now, will it matter what's there? And if you think about it, we went to his graduation to the graveyard, mm-hmm. and I worked all night, and I asked if I could ride up with Oscar Margaret, and his daughter had come up to me. She said, Clyde, you didn't work all night to come here and not say nothing about my dad. And I said, well, you're right. I said, I've quoted King James, I've quoted J.B. Phillips, and I've quoted Miles Shepherd. Mm-hmm. I said, that's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if she knew what I was talking about. But by God, the ones that heard me, the ones they knew. Otherwise, I'll say it. We quoted truth. Mm-hmm. We seen truth set aside and say, hey, truth. Truth does a great thing in our lives. Sets us free. Right? First thing it does is set us free. And then I go like it, and I said, and then, and you get in this word that you're bringing today. I don't know. At work, I used to have all these meters that I seen that clicked. I mean, it was tremendous pressure, and these things were just going around and around. And God said, now I want you to watch this how I see it. And I looked down at that meter, and I seen it clicking. He said, you're watching eternity. Let eternity roll. I mean, it's rolling. I mean, but he sees all the clicks. He knows what they mean. And I looked at that, and it humbled me to think the creator of heaven and earth allows his creation to see that and know that he's in charge of that. Oh, what a day it is. We live in a great day. Now, I don't know if we're all free to say this, but I believe today is the greatest day I've ever lived. And I don't know if it'll be my last one or not. But the thing is, that's not going to change what I just said.
Well, for me, you can ask my wife. There was a long period of time where I said, 55, I'll be gone. That's why I say, I wake up every day and say, thank you, Lord. I went by that like I was standing still. I'm pushing 75.
Well, in God, it was standing.
So in other words, to me, he ain't done yet. He ain't done with me. I believe he's not. I think there's lots of things ahead to me.
I don't
Oscar,
know.
You've been peeking around in there in your mind.
Yeah, so what's
you coming up with?
Well, I was just thinking about what it says of James. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've just been just looking at some things here. And, you know, in James, you know, in the first chapter, starting with the 21st verse, it says, "Therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Then it goes on and says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of," then it changes, "doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now, you know, the Lord dealt with me about being a doer of the word, you know, different times. And, you know, that word doer there is the word poetess. And it's the same word that's in the book of Acts where they translated it as poet, see. And where Paul was in Athens and he looked around and he said, "Even your poets have said we're children of God," you know, and all this and that. I'm just kind of paraphrasing what he said. And really, they were right, but they hadn't come into the real relationship with God, you know. And, you know, what a poet does is a poet brings harmony to things, you know, and we've talked about that many a time. You know, they put insignificant words in significant places, and that brings harmony to whatever's being said. And usually it's not always the key words that are the harmonious words. So that really tells us, if we're going to be a doer of the word, you know, that we just need to fit wherever God has us fit, you know what I mean, and be harmonious in that spot, you know. And it says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And when it says, "Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty," the Lord dealt with me years ago about the perfect law of liberty. And I asked the Lord, I said, "What's the perfect law of liberty?" And I felt like he said, "Submission." Now, in the natural, if you tell somebody, "I'm going to set you at liberty," and they say, "Well, yeah, but I'm going to be in submission to you." You know, remember what happened in the Old Testament? If a servant or a slave, I'm trying to think of what it's called, the 49th year, the 50th year, it was called Jubilee. When the year of Jubilee rolled around, everyone was set free. All of the slaves were set free. If anybody had taken your land or anything, they were supposed to give it back.
Yes.
everything was taken care of, you know. But the servant, if he loved his master and wanted to stay with his master, he was to go to his master, and he was to go to the gates of the city, which, the you know, significant of gates of city, you're the city, your gates is, you know, your mind, your will, your all of those kind of things. And he was to go there, and they were to bore a hole in his ear. And that meant that he loved his master, and he wanted to stay with his master. And I felt like the Lord showed me years ago, boring the hole in his ear was that he would only hear the voice of his master. You know, and you know, that perfect law of liberty and a doer of the work and a doer of the word revolves around being in that perfect law of liberty revolves around being in submission to the Holy Spirit. And when I'm saying being in submission, I'm saying that wherever God's got you, you submit to that until He takes you somewhere else or puts you in something else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's not always an easy thing to do. I mean, you know, a lot of times we want to grab the bull by the horns and do something, you know. And a lot of times if you grab the bull by the horns, guess what? You'll get stuck with a horn.
you get flipped over like the matador.
That's what happens sometimes. But really what we need to learn is submitting wherever God has you at that particular point. And flowing with Him is part of doing the work. You know, flowing with Him. Whatever he has you do. You know, I can remember in the church, one of the first things that I was ever asked to do in this church years ago, other than people did see that the Lord had given me insight into a lot of scripture. And when I went into a Sunday school class, they tried to turn the class over to me, and I was just a real young Christian, and I wasn't ready for that no more than a man in the moon. You know what I mean? But anyway, one of the first actual things that I was asked to do was to serve at a wedding, you know. And I'm not real domestic. I'm not a domestic guy. I don't cook. I don't do things like that at home. I mean, I'm just not domestic. You know, I don't tend to do that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not downplaying it or anything like that. But that's just not me, you know. So what did the Lord do? He had me do something that just wasn't me, you know. Uh-huh. And that's the way God does with you a lot of times. He puts you in positions of doing things that you don't feel adequate at, or that you think, man, I can't do that. You know, I used to hear people say all the time concerning Brother Eddie, they'd say, well, I can't follow behind Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie, you cast a big shadow. You do this, you do that. Hey, if God had put you in a position where you're to speak or you're to do something, it's His shadow. It's His shadow, not yours. You walk, you know, like it says in Psalm 92, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty, you know. You know, and that's where it mounts out to. And if we'll walk in the perfect law of liberty, and that perfect law of liberty being submission to God and submission to whatever He has us doing or whatever, then we'll be fulfilling our purpose, our will. Some people feel like that if they aren't doing something real big or something, you know, then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I'm missing God. No, you're not missing God. If he wants you to do something specific, He will let you know. You know, you will know. What did He tell Abraham? That originally when He began to deal with Abraham, to get up and get out to a land I'll show you. And you know, when He tells you get up and get out. Say, okay, Lord, now where are we going? You know, and do it on a daily basis, you know. And He didn't say, I'm going to tell you exactly where it was. He said, to a land that I'll show you. And He began to show Him as He traveled forth. And that's the thing about submission, is that God puts you in uncomfortable positions a lot of times. He puts you there so that you can learn to rely on Him completely. And that's a big part of fulfilling the work that God has for you, if He has a work. You know what I mean? And you know, your work might be just to be supportive to people, or just to love on people, or just whatever it is, you know. And you know, I've just seen so many people. I knew a person one time, they said they were called to be like a missionary type person, you know. But they never did anything in the missions. But they wanted to try to control everything that would happen in the church, you know, as far as giving or helping people. Well, you know, you can be a missionary right in your own neighborhood. You can be a missionary at the grocery store. You can be a missionary anywhere, because what are you doing? You're telling them about Jesus. You're loving on them. You know, you're being there for them. And this thing is really more simpler than we tend to make it at times. And there is work to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you can say, well, bless God, I don't have to do anything. Well, yeah, you do. You have to be obedient to what the Lord tells you to do on a daily basis. That's pretty much a fact. I mean, sometimes God will show you what he's going to have you do in the future, and sometimes he won't. You know, I mean, the Lord showed me standing behind a pulpit when I was 14, 15 years old. And I thought, that ain't me. I ain't gonna do that, you know. And I didn't do it for a lot of years, you know. And I went exactly, I was probably like, pretty much like Jonah. I went exactly the opposite direction of that, you know. But then there come a time when the Lord kept dealing with me, till finally I just had to go and say, Lord, I give up. I can't run from you no more. And you know, then he starts positioning you. You don't ever have to position yourself. People always think they got to get themselves in a position. Well, you don't really have to do that. All you have to do is just let God do the positioning. And he'll put you someplace where you feel so inadequate sometimes that it'll blow you away. But it doesn't depend on your adequacy. It doesn't depend on your strength. It doesn't depend on your abilities. It really depends on him, you know. Look at what Jeremiah said when the Lord began to talk to him. Lord, I'm but a child. Well, yeah, but he can use a child. He can use a donkey.
That's right. I did some words here. I don't know. I think this pertains to what you're saying. And I'm reading Brother Ebene, this sentence here says, we cannot tell him, we're talking about the Lord, mm-hmm. what portion of him we will receive,
right.
or what portion we will not receive.
Right. You have to receive it all.
Yeah.
Whatever he gives you. Yeah.
We cannot tell him what portion of him, you know, I read that. And let me see. We will receive and manifest him in his fullness without any reservations or preconceived ideals,
right.
or we will not receive them at all.
Mm. Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Brenda, you got something for us? I'm
listening. It's all or nothing, isn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I was kind of interested also in the second half of this, where it says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, I will give him power over the nations. And power is authority. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean. But I was really interested as well in this, in the mirror, in that one, because it says here, it says, you will shepherd the nations with a royal scepter and shatter their alienated mindsets like a potter's vessel of clay. That is, I think, a better understanding than we have the power to beat them over the head and, you know, beat them into submission. When you embrace the completeness of my works as your treasure, you realize my authority in you to possess the nations. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Paul quotes Psalm 2 in Acts 13 when he preaches the resurrection of Jesus in Ephesians 2:5 and Colossians. He celebrates our co-begottenness. And then it says, you will shepherd the nations. And that's a whole lot different than, quote, lording it over the nations, being in, you know, to be your shepherd. You know, the shepherd loves his sheep, and our power, our authority over the nations is to show them, to lead them, to guide them, to bring them into the revelation that we have.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not to beat them up and throw them in hell. You know?
Well, look at what a shepherd does, and look at what Jesus, he was the good shepherd, you know, considered the good shepherd. He was the door to the sheepfold. You know, the story goes that the shepherd would try to find a conclave in the rocks, you know, where they're surrounded by rocks on all sides, and then he'd get the sheep back in there sometimes in the nighttime, and then he'd lay across the doorway. Mm-hmm. Well, anything that tried to come in to get the sheep had to go through him to get to the sheep. Well, he wasn't going to get to him. And look at what David did. What did David tell him when he went and fought Goliath? He told him, he said, what did he do? I slayed the lion and I slayed the bear. And you know what I mean? So, you know, when you're talking about that, he's talking about being willing to lay down your life.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Exactly.
And when Scripture says, he that loves his life, you know, will lose it, and he that loses his life, this is talking about the Zoe life,
mm-hmm.
or the Zoe life. The Zoe life is life eternal. He that loses his life for my sake will keep it unto life eternal, and that's a Zoe life, the two different kinds of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's not like, you know, you're going to think, well, bless God, now I can just make all the determinations and what everything's going to happen. That isn't what that's talking about. Like what you're saying there, Kathy. It's about loving the sheep, leading and guiding them, being willing to lay down your life for them. That's
just
what
as
Jesus
did for us.
That's why.
Before and while, yet while we were still sinners,
yeah,
he laid down his life for us.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot in those words.
It definitely is.
The near saying of the word in the carnal way brings to your understanding.
Yeah.
You have to grab that hidden manna. You have to dig deep. And how he makes it real to us. It's great. Come on, Brenda, I know you've got something going on.
No, I had something for Mike. I listened to your message last night. I was listening to it. And I said, boy, this is over 20 years ago when I was working at Dragon. I'm sitting on a line one time going through some things, and God gave me this little song. And I said, well, this goes right with your message about waiting on God. And I'm not a singer now.
Go ahead.
I give a little part. It's one step at a time will I follow the Lord, never running ahead or lagging behind. One step at a time will I seek in his word, thus will I learn what the prophets have said. Oh, I was just seeing I forgot about that song. And then when I listened to your message, and I'm saying day by day, us really seeking him, looking to him, one step at a time. Not running ahead, not lagging behind. And he said that. I said, oh, I know those words. And that was that he had given me.
How many years ago was that?
You said
over
he gave 20, it over 20 years ago?
Over, you know, when I look at things we read in the Word and Scripture,
yes,
and people try to memorize Scripture, and you don't have to, because anything you've read, anything you've seen, it's in here. It's in here. And at the time, when you least expect it, you're ministering to someone, God brings a word, brings that, right?
Yes.
He's on time. It's timely. He's timely. And when I was listening to him, and then I looked at back, what was things I was going through and worrying about this and seeing this and how's this going to work out or what?
Mm-hmm.
And he speaking about waiting on God, and then how every day, how he thanks God, he looks to him for, you know, that day. And then this song called, I said, oh, that God gave me that way back when I worked that dragon out.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here and comes back to mind when I 25 years ago when I ran that marathon, the 26-mile race. And I can remember And and Kath knows what happened. She was there. I was running it, and that was the hardest thing I've ever done physically in my life. And I came around the corner, and there was a guy just barely moving, dragging. He looked like he was going down any second. And I thought, you know, I got to help this guy. And I stopped, and I got to talking to him. And we were walking a little bit, and this guy's, and, you know, we were talking about where we were from. And he said, I'm here with the church group out of Georgia. And we got to talking about the Lord a little bit. And, you know, we walked for about a quarter of a mile or so. And he said, I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah. He said, go ahead and go. And I took off. And Kath will tell you, at the end of that race, the last 2 miles that I ran in that race were the fastest 2 miles I've ran the whole time. I still remember that to this day, that I believe that was the Lord who gave me that strength. He put that guy there at exactly the right time for me to go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you see your side. Let's see his. His was that you be there. He was waiting on you. God has people wait on you to get encouragement. You know what? We're supposed to be a reflection of what we are. What God in you is, that's what you're going to be. You're going to be an encourager. You're going to be a doer. You're going to be someone that depends on his strength, not your own. And I think that's incredible. That the last 2 miles, because you already ran 24 and something. I mean, people, quick story. Chuck said he was on his way to a doctor's appointment. He was 5 minutes late already, according to his clock. Some lady was having trouble with her car. He said, Lord, you're going to have to stop time here. He gets out, helps her with her car. She ran out of gas. He goes to the gas station with her, brings her back, puts her in there. He said, walks in the office and he's 5 minutes early. Only God can do that. Well, God's an on-time God. He'll show up when you need him.
Well, you can ask Kath. She was getting worried, because you got to understand. I didn't finish at the head of this race.
I understand.
I finished near the end. Mm-hmm. But she came out looking for me because I hadn't come in yet. She said, I went by her so fast she couldn't. I didn't even know she was standing there.
So I missed the finish.
But I knew, you know, the thing about the whole thing is that after it was all over, I knew that I would never see this guy again. Mm-hmm. And I knew that there was something happened there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew something happened there. At that point, I couldn't really figure out what it was, but I knew something had happened there.
Praise the Lord.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, you want to shut this down for the day? Give ourselves a few minutes to chat with folks outside. Mm-hmm. Mike, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this day.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for your victory in our lives. Mm-hmm. Father, just thank you for allowing us to become overcomers.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you know what the trials that each and every one of us are going through in this room. And you know what goes on in our lives way before we even know. But Lord, we know that if we just trust in you, that we will overcome all our trials. Mm-hmm. Father, I just want to thank you for all the blessings you're going to pour upon each of us today.
Yes.
And I give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.